reality is, when you see a great God, when you see the God who is great, you don't argue with him, you align with him. When you recognize God is great, you don't question his worth, you worship his worth. When you know God is great, you don't squeeze him into your life, you surrender your life to him. And today I want to continue our look at this series, How to Become a Great Person for the Great God. And I want to talk to you from the thought, how to live great because he's the great God. How to live great because he's the great God. So here's what I want you to do. On your outlines, you see an A in front of great. Cross out that A and make it the. Because he is the great God. If you have your outlines, would you say amen? Amen. If you need an outline, raise your hand and the ushers will get one to you. There are four things on your outline today. We're going to get through the first two this week. And we'll save the last two for next week. If you're watching today, you can download an outline from the Good Hope app or go to our website, goodhope.org, and you can find a fill-in-the-blank outline there for your convenience. We're in the book of Deuteronomy, the fifth book in the Bible, and this is Moses' farewell address to Israel. They are on the edge of promise, but they're still carrying the memory of their past. The promised land is in front of them. A painful past is behind them. And the only way they're going to get into the promised land is to recognize that the great God who got them out of Egypt is the same God who is going to take to get them into Canaan. They've come out of Egypt, a land filled with multiple gods, idol worship, and cultural confusion. And now they're about to go into Canaan, a land filled with pagan practices, false deities, and competing loyalties. And so Moses speaks to the children of Israel as they are about to go into the promised land. But Moses realizes that strategy is not what they need. Theology is what they need. In other words, they don't need to know how to fight to get in. They need to know the God who will fight for them. And my brothers and my sisters today, let me just put a cord in the meat and stop here for a second and remind somebody that as smart as you are, as intelligent as you are, as connected as you are, you still need God in your life. You need God in your life to lead you, to guide you, to direct you, to open doors that no man can shut and close doors that no man can open. So God is here. Moses is speaking, and Moses wants them to understand who the great God is. Verse 17, he begins by saying, the Lord, the Lord. Whenever you see the Lord in your Bible translation, a good English translation will translate that word and will print it capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. That's the only word in the Bible that is translated Lord that is all capitalized. And that word in Hebrew is the word Yahweh. It's the tetragrammaton, the YHWH, the unspeakable, unspoken name of God. It represents the God who was in the beginning before the beginning began, who was, is, and will be to come. He is the universal God who is unchangeable, ever living, ever existing, and self-consistent. He is God all by himself. And so here's what Moses wants the children of Israel to understand. And he wants you and I to understand parenthetically. You cannot walk into your promised land if God is not your God. And so when he says the Lord, here's what he wants Israel to understand. Don't compare him. Don't reduce him. And don't try to replace him. Because when you understand who he is, it's supposed to change how you live. Let me say it again. When you know who God is, it should change how you live. If he's the great God, then there's a great way you must live for him. Because if he is the great God and you are the people who follow him, then it just makes sense that you are to be a great people for the great God. Here's the first thing I want you to see. Number one, you must recognize his supremacy. If you're going to live great because he's the great God, you must recognize his supremacy. Watch what the writer says. For the Lord your God is God of gods. Stop right there. This is not saying there are other real gods. This is saying anything people call God, he's above that. Whatever you call God, whatever you worship, whatever your higher power is, Moses says he is the God of gods. Nobody like him. Nobody can compare to him. And there's three things about his supremacy that you need to understand. Look at A. His position is exclusive. His position is exclusive. Isaiah 45, beginning at verse 5, the New Living Translation says, I am the Lord, there is no other God. I have equipped you for battle, though you don't even know me. So all the world from east to west will know there is no other God. I am the Lord, and there is no other. There is no other like God. Can I tell you one of the things that I've learned in life? Sometimes when you begin to forget who God is, God has to put you in a situation to remind you of who he is. And he'll put you in a position, listen carefully, where nobody else can do what only he can do. So you will give him the glory and the respect that he deserves in your life. Somebody in here right now, you just may be going through what you're going through because God is trying to show you who he is. And because you have forgotten who he is, God says, let me put you in a position, let me take you through a situation or circumstance that only I can bring you through, only I can get you out of, so you can recognize that only I am the true and living God. There is no other God like him. But look at B. His power is eternal. His power is eternal. Psalm 90, verse 2. Let's read it together. Before the mountains were born, before you gave birth to the earth and the world, from beginning to end, you are God. King James says, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You are the eternal one. You and you alone are God. But watch what he says in C about recognizing his supremacy. C, his presence is everywhere. Jeremiah 23, verse 24, can anyone hide from me in a secret place? Am I not everywhere in all the heavens and earth, says the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth? See, here's what God wants you to understand. He's not one option among many. He's not one voice among many. He's not one path among many. He is God. Trying to compare God to anything else is like comparing a drop of water to the ocean. Trying to compare anything else to God is like trying to compare a flashlight to the sunshine. Both of them shine, but one gives life, the other needs batteries. There's no comparison because God doesn't compete, God dominates. There was a man who had a shelf in his house, and that shelf was where he kept what he called his most important things. On that shelf, he had his Bible. He had his business awards, he had his family pictures, and he had his financial documents. One day his young child asked him, Daddy, which one is the most important of the things on your important shelf? And the reality was that the man had to pause and recognize that even though the Bible was on the shelf, it wasn't the only thing on the shelf. many of us don't deny God. We just don't prioritize God. So it's not that you don't name the name of God. It's not that you don't call on the name of God. You just don't prioritize who God is in your life. See, God is not meant to sit on the shelf of your life. He is meant to sit on the throne of your heart. So you got to put God first, not just in words, but in priorities. Stop elevating money and success and people and opinions above God. Because if God is not first in your life, something else is functioning as your God. Here's the second thing and the final thing we'll look at today. I told you how to live great because he's the great God. Number one, you must recognize his supremacy. Number two, you must respect his authority. You got to respect his authority. Look at what the text says. The A part of verse 17, Deuteronomy chapter 10. For the Lord your God is God of gods and, here it is, Lord of lords. He is Lord of lords. That phrase, Lord of lords, speaks to rulership, speaks to dominion, speaks to authority. Look at A, his rule is sovereign. His rule is sovereign. Psalm 103, verse 19, the Lord has made the heavens his throne, and from there he rules over everything. His kingdom rules over everything. He's sovereign. You know, there are certain people in certain places who can develop an omnipotence complex because they think they control their space. And because they control their space, they think they control everything and everybody in their space. Let me see if I can make it plain. Judges are quick to get an omnipotence complex because whatever they say in their courtroom goes. And sometimes they'll start believing their own press clippings. Because if you want justice outside of their courtroom, you got to go somewhere else because what they say in their court goes. School teachers can get a little omnipotence complex in their classrooms. They don't want anybody coming in their classrooms telling them what to teach and how to teach and what to do with children. After all, that's their classroom. They know how to run their classroom. I don't want to pick on judges and teachers because preachers, you know, they can do that too. Pastors can. No, come on now. I got to be honest with you. You know, real talk, right? Pastors can get beside themselves and start thinking that the church is their kingdom instead of part of God's kingdom. And they start manipulating and maneuvering around as if they are the HNIC instead of recognizing that God is ultimately the one who is in charge. And we all have to submit to God, right? But there's an authority above us. There's an authority above the courthouse, above the schoolhouse, and above the church house. And it's God. And somewhere along the line, whether you sit on a bench in a courtroom or at a desk in a classroom or stand in a pulpit, we've got to recognize that our ultimate authority in life, the ultimate one who is sovereign over all of us, is God. Look at B, his word is supreme. His word is supreme. Isaiah 40, verse 8, the grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. The word of God is supreme. It stands forever. When we talk about Jesus and the coming of Jesus in John chapter 1, the Bible says the word became flesh and dwelt among us, right? Because we are told that Jesus was the incarnation and was the living expression of the written word of God. Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4 to preach the word, to be instant in season and out of season. And somebody may ask the question, why would Paul tell Timothy that in 2 Timothy chapter 4? It's because of what Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3. leading into chapter 4. He says, for the word of God is profitable, is beneficial for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. The word is supreme because the word of God is profitable for doctrine. That's to teach you what's right. Warren Wiersbe said the word of God is profitable for reproof. That's to teach you what's not right. He says the word of God is profitable for correction. That's to teach you how to get right. And the word of God is profitable for instruction in righteousness. That's to teach you how to stay right. Everything you need for right living is in the word of God. His word is supreme. But look at C, his will is final. His will is final. Look at Daniel chapter 4, verse 35. All the people of the earth are nothing compared to him. He does as he pleases among the angels of heaven and among the people of the earth. No one can stop him or say to him, what do you mean by doing these things? None can stay his hand. Listen to me carefully. His will is final. You don't vote on God's will. You don't negotiate with his word, and you don't revise his commands. I was coming in the other day and was listening to the radio, and I was listening to this preacher talk about God's perfect will. And then they started talking about God's permissive will, which I will be honest with you, as I think about God's perfect will and God's permissive will, I think that idea of his permissive will is really just an opportunity for us to try to label our disobedience in a better way. See, I don't think God has a perfect will and a permissive will. He has obedience and disobedience. And if you're not going to do what God wants you to do, his perfect will in terms of obedience, anything else is disobedience. Listen, I was on my way to an event. I was at a wedding rehearsal, and I was on my way to the rehearsal dinner, and I was going to put the address in the GPS. Finally did, but car pulled out in front of me from the same location, and I assumed we were going to the same place. And so I decided I was going to follow them. I didn't need to follow the directions. Let me just follow them. And as I was following them, they made a left turn, and the GPS said, go right. But I said, well, they must know where they're going, and they must know better than the GPS. So I made a left, and we went down a block or two, and then I noticed they made a U-turn and started going back the opposite direction. I had a choice at that moment. Was I going to keep following them, or was I going to follow the GPS? And I decided I was going to follow the GPS in order to get where I wanted to be. Here's my point. If the GPS tells you to turn and you ignore it, don't blame the GPS when you end up in the wrong place. At the end of the day, you cannot listen. You cannot get where God wants you to be when you rather follow people than follow the Lord. And the truth of the matter is, many of us call him Lord, but we don't want to submit to him as our Lord. And so we give him a title without submission. Pastor once counseled a man who said, Pastor, I love God, but I just don't agree with everything in the Bible. He says, I love God, but I don't agree with everything in the Bible. And the pastor said to him, that's not how lordship works. Pastor said, because he is the Lord, you don't edit his word. His word edits you. You don't follow the Lord on your terms. You follow him on his terms because he is the way, the truth, and the life. And let me tell you something about being, or at least trying to be, the Lord of your own life. It won't be long before you'll find out you're in over your head. Yeah, that's a job description you can't fulfill. Trying to be God, trying to help God, just let God be God. Obey God even when it contradicts your comfort. Follow God even when it doesn't make sense. Submit your decisions, your relationships, and your lifestyle to God. Because as the writer of Deuteronomy says, He is the God of gods, and He's the Lord of lords. Searched all over, couldn't find nobody. Searched high and low, still couldn't find nobody. Nobody greater. Nobody greater. Nobody greater than Him. Amen. Let's stop there. We'll pick up next week. Let's pray. Father, thank you for today. We pray now that everything that has been done and said has been pleasing in your sight. God, I pray that we would leave here with both a better view of ourselves and a better view of you. Help us, God, to live in a way, a great way, to reflect how great a God you are. Touch and bless now. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Let's sing some more of Nobody Greater. And I'm going to ask everybody who can to stand on your feet wherever you are. Here's what I believe. When you realize how great God is, it should change how you live. When you realize how great God is, it should change how you live. It should change how you view life. It should change what you try to do and what you trust God to do. And here's what I want to do today. I'm just feeling led. I want us to worship somebody into the kingdom today. In other words, I want us to be so, my wife says I use big words. I want us to be so vociferous today in our praise of God. I want us to be so outlandish in our praise of God that the greatness of our praise will help somebody in here know I need to serve that kind of God. Will y'all help me today? Will y'all help me today? Let's lift our voices. Now, here's what I want you to know. If you're here today, you've never asked Jesus Christ into your life, I want to extend to you an opportunity to come. If you're here today and you're looking for a church home and you believe this is where God wants you to be, man, we're not perfect by any stretch of the imagination. We are an imperfect people serving a perfect God. I want to invite you to come. If you're watching today and you know you need God in your life, you can use that QR code. But if you're here today and stuff has been going on in your life that has reminded you that you can't, but God can, that has reminded you where you fall short, God can make up the difference. If you're here today and you know you need God in your life, I want to encourage you to come and give your life to the great God who sits high and looks low. Come on, we're going to worship. And as we worship, come on and come. There's nobody greater. There's nobody greater. Heather, come on.
Searched all over.
I searched all over. Couldn't find nobody. Come on and come.
I looked high and low.
Still couldn't find nobody. Nobody greater. Come on, nobody.
Nobody greater than you.
Come on, give God some praise. Hallelujah. Give God some glory today.
Searched all over.
Couldn't find nobody.
Looked high and low.
I looked high and low.
Still couldn't find
nobody. Nobody greater. Nobody greater. Come on.
Nobody greater than you. I searched all over, couldn't find nobody.
Looked high and low,
still couldn't find nobody. Nobody greater.
Nobody greater than you.
Come on, I came up here to the balcony because somebody up here needs to come. Come on. The Lord just told me to come on up here for you. Come on. Come on. Come on. Nobody greater. Come on to come. Come on.
Nobody greater. King of
come on, come on. I know, listen. Wait a minute. Shh. Hold on. See, somebody, you up here in the balcony now, and you like, did the Lord send them up here for us? I already know. Yeah. Did the Lord send it? This is spooky, y'all. The Lord sent him up here? Yes. God sent me up here for you. God sent me up here for you. Tell you to come. Come on. I see you coming. Come on. Come on.
Nobody greater.
Come on.
Nobody
yeah. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on.
Nobody greater.
Come on. Come on. Come on. Somebody give God some praise. Come on here.
Nobody greater than you.
Elder, sing that verse. Sing that verse for us. Nobody can
heal like you can.
Nobody can heal like you can.
Most holy one, you are the great I am.
He's the great I am. Come on.
Awesome in all your ways, and mighty is your hand.
Yeah.
You are he who carried out redemption's plan.
Come on, here we go. Search.
Searched all over.
Yeah, couldn't find. Looked high and low. Again for me, Elder. Sing that verse. Nobody
can heal
like you can.
Oh, most holy one,
you are the great I am.
Awesome in all your ways, and mighty is your hand. You are he who carried out redemption's plan.
Searched all over, come on.
Searched all over, couldn't find nobody. I looked high and low, still couldn't find nobody.
Nobody greater, Lord. Nobody greater than you.
Nobody greater.
Nobody greater.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, let's cover these who have come in prayer. Father, thank you. God, thank you. God, so many times in life, we experience our own drift away from who you are to believing our self-created hype about who we are. We've been taught by the world that if we speak it, it's going to come to pass. And if we blow ourselves up, that's going to make us who we've been created to be. But God, you have said in your word, when we humble ourselves before you, you will exalt us. And God, I pray right now that somebody today who has come, they've come and recognized, realized, and will leave today not talking about how great choir was or how great preaching was or how great the membership is. I pray that they would leave here today talking about how great you are. God, for this season of their journey, help us to help them become all you want them to be for your glory and for our good. We cover them in believing prayer now, asking you to touch as only you can, not just what we see on the surface, but what is beneath the surface, not what's going on the outside, but what they're wrestling with on the inside. Give them your peace, give them your comfort, give them your strength, give them your power, give them your assurance right now in the name of Jesus, so that they'll walk in who you created them to be. It's in Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. Come on, somebody give God some praise. Nobody greater. Nobody greater. Nobody
than you.
Nobody greater.
Nobody greater.
Nobody
greater than you.
Come on, come on. Keep on clapping. Come on, keep on giving God some praise for those who have come. Come on. Nobody greater, nobody greater than you. Nobody greater, nobody greater, nobody greater than you. Listen, we're going to get ready to worship the Lord.